We are pleased to have with us today Pastor Al McDowell. Al is now on his 25th year working for Adventist World Radio. He has traveled in many countries, as you might imagine, and has preached in over 300 churches. Today he will tell his conversion story and will also tell you many exciting Adventist World Radio angel stories. You will hear how Adventist World Radio is now reaching the world and how there are 50 Sunday pastors who are joining the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He will also tell you some Adventist World Radio end time stories. Now, you may be wondering how he's going to do all this, but I reminded him that we set our clocks backward an hour earlier in the week, so not to worry. Our text that he has asked that we read this morning is as follows. Psalms 91, 4 to 6. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Pastor McDowell, thank you for coming and speaking for us.
Well, I've got some good news for you today. How many like good news? Good, so do I. Jesus is coming soon. Did you know that you're supposed to know that? When I was preparing this sermon, I didn't know this either. But in the Great Controversy, page 370, it says we are required to know when the season of Jesus comes. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the season. We have an abundance of things happening in this world today. It's just outstanding, the things that are taking place. I want to read to you from Revelation 14, verse 6. But before I do, lots of people say, well, how can Jesus come? Because we're not reaching every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And you know what? It's impossible for man to do that. Here's the answer in Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Angels are working by our side with Adventist World Radio. We've had recently 20 experiences with angels. I'm going to tell you a personal angel story that I had. When I was preaching this sermon not long ago, I raised my hand like I will in a few minutes, and I asked for the power of the Holy Spirit to help me and to be with each one in the audience. When I got through, went out to the AWR table, and I was standing there, and I'd shake hands with everybody. Pretty soon a man come up to me, and he shook hands. He said, you must be powerful. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the minute you finished your prayer, there was a halo of light all over your body, the upper half of your body, and it stayed there the whole time you were talking. I feel very humble about this. Another time, I was going to church. I wasn't early, but I wasn't late, but I just felt that I needed to drive alongside the road and have prayer. And I made a short prayer. How many of you have ever, you don't have to raise your hands, how many of you ever had prayer and you wonder if it goes any higher in your head? Well, when I was praying that fast, I kind of wondered myself. And I prayed, I said, Lord, you know that I'm not prepared as much today as I would like to be. I always memorize my sermons. I don't read from them. And I just felt I needed extra help. I said, Lord, send the angel Gabriel to stand by my... Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I felt terrible. I went on to church, got through, everybody filed out. I thought the church was empty. All of a sudden, two people appeared. A man and a wife, they had their overcoats on. It was cold outside. They shook my hand, and they said, do you know what happened this morning? I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. They said, the minute you stood up to preach, there was a bright light over your right shoulder, and it stayed there the whole time you were preaching. I felt pretty humble about this. Then they went on to say, this has only happened one other time. How could any human being know that that could only happen one other time? I tried to open my mouth. I wanted to ask them questions, but my mouth just wouldn't function. They went out the door, and I quickly went out right behind them, opened the door, and they disappeared. I knew that I'd shaken hands with two angels, and I feel pretty humble this morning. I'm just telling you these things so you feel like your prayers aren't heard. Just be patient. Well, we have an abundance of things showing us closing scenes of history. We have China that had 200,000 killed in an earthquake. We've had unquenchable fires in Australia and, of course, Washington and Oregon. But here's the most outstanding evidence about Jesus coming soon. The Pope has just recently accepted to be speaking to Congress. Can you imagine what this will be like, speaking to Congress and all the senators and to all the military leaders, to the president and his staff, and the Supreme Court justices? The Pope has been working as a peacemaker. Can you imagine what is going through your mind right now? We declare peace and then sudden destruction. Jesus is going to finish this work by sending angels where human beings haven't been doing it. So the closing events will be fast. I said this before, but I'm going to emphasize it more this morning. Every church I go to, I find people that are not patient. I find people that lose their temper. Oh, everything goes fine at church, but when they're home, things change. We are not going to heaven with a temper. And I was guilty of this myself. And I knelt down and I asked the Holy Spirit to help me. I got tired of saying, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. So I asked the Lord to change my life. And here's what he did. It's simple, but it works. I memorized Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You might want to mark it in your Bible because I hope you too will consider this. But I've memorized Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Every single morning I pray for the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and temperance in all things. You know, that's made a different person out of me. I say that every single morning. And when I go down the freeway, and I'm going down the freeway many, many times, and I used to say something under my breath, now I pray for them because I remember that prayer in the morning. Try it. It works. Let's get ready to go with Jesus. Out on the table, you'll find some literature. It's very costly, but I have good news. None of the expense of that offering came from any offerings of Adventist World Radio. 100% of your offerings go to give the three angels messages. There's not too many missions that can say that. And my travel expenses is paid for by the General Conference, but it comes from an endowment fund. We have 35 employees worldwide with Adventist World Radio, but their salaries come from an endowment fund. So 100% of your offerings go to give the three angels messages. I thought you'd like to know that. But take some of that literature. There's some of my stories that I'm going to be telling are in that. And there's some other items on there too. Let's pray. My dear Father in heaven, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be with me. You know I need help. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to be with each one this morning, that we can receive the blessing that you want us to have for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to tell my conversion story, and the reason I'm going to tell it, I have been accused of trying to work my way to heaven. I'm 94 years of age, and people keep saying, people retire at 60, what are you trying to do? And I'm going to disclose this morning why I'm standing up here at 94. The Lord has given me extra strength. I don't take any medications. I don't have any aches or pains. And I feel like I did when I was 19. But there's one trouble. I can't remember what that was like. December the 7th, 1941, I was on a battleship out in Pearl Harbor. And that's where I was last week, by the way. I was speaking at a church near Honolulu. And there was no indication that there was any war. I was a radioman. And that night, I decided I'd go in the emergency radio room because nobody's there and you can lock the doors. And nobody will bother you. So I went in there at 8 o'clock in the morning. They started hammering on the door, let us in, there's a war going on. You guys are crazy, get out of here. And then I felt that mighty battleship rock. Battleships don't rock. I've been on that battleship when we fired 16-inch guns broadside. It pushes the ship a little side, but it doesn't rock or shake it. And then I heard blasts and bombs going on. I knew there was something going on. I opened the door, and men come in that compartment like it was a flood of water. And 183 Japanese airplanes attacked at us with a surprise attack. Then there was a lull. They said, man your gas masks, because they'll probably be back in gases. So I went up to the second deck and got an armload of gas masks. And I thought, well, while I'm here, I'll just look out the porthole to see what's going on. And all I could see up and down Pearl Harbor was black smoke. And then I thought, wait a minute, I shouldn't be seeing anything. There was a big battleship tied up alongside of us blocking that porthole. The USS Oklahoma. I was on the USS Maryland. And then I looked down. In just 15 minutes' time, that battleship was upside down. Men were hammering on the hull, trying to get attention so they could take cutting torches and cut holes and bring men out. I watched them pull many men out with tears coming down their cheeks and their arms raised to God. But many didn't make it. I ran quickly back to emergency radio room, and sure enough, they sent another 100 and some airplanes, and they attacked us again. And what I'm going to tell you next, I didn't know until I read a little book that told, give this experience. The Japanese officer that was in charge of all the Japanese aircraft sent his Japanese airplanes back to their carriers, and then he circled to see what damage was. He had two big bombs under the wings of his airplane. And he looked down and he could see one battleship that hadn't been damaged at all. It was a battleship that I was on, USS Maryland. He went up to a high altitude, dropped the bomb. It was a direct hit, and it was right over my head. But it didn't go off. It just rolled off in the water. I shouldn't be here this morning, and I know that. He said he was so mad. He went back up to another high altitude, and he dropped the other bomb. It did go off. It set our ship on fire in the forward compartments, and we had to flood the ship so it wouldn't blow up like the Arizona did. You know, all during this time, I did not give my heart to Jesus. Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave some of us servicemen a little white Bible. It had the book of Psalms in the back of it. But I just tossed it in the bottom of my sea bag. You'll hear about this little Bible a little later. We were still the least damaged. They made temporary repairs over to Pearl Harbor and sent us back to the United States for permanent repairs. And I got transferred to a light cruiser that was just being manufactured in Camden, New Jersey. And I should have known the trouble that I was going to get in. There was 20 millimeters and 40 millimeters lined up close together on the port and starboard sides, 5-inch guns, and then the main batteries. At the beginning of World War II, we didn't know if we were going to have to learn to speak Japanese or German or not, because they destroyed most of our fleet out at Pearl Harbor. So we sailed out through the Panama Canal Zone, and for 17 miserable months, we were in battle after battle. The United States had developed radar. We could see the ships at night. The Japanese didn't have that yet. And so we'd make our attacks at night, and then we'd run as fast as we could and get out of the war zone. Night after night, we did that and survived. Then they announced, we're going to dry dock. Oh, we got so happy. If you're going to dry dock, we're probably going home. We sailed out of the war zone, and we saw something out of the war zone in an island. It looked like a ship was sunk, and we sailed right over the top of it. What a disappointment. They'd manufactured a floating dry dock. They haven't even tried it out yet. They didn't know if it would lift us out of the water or not. And they started pumping water slowly, foot by foot by foot. That one, our ship came all the way out. Oh, we were disappointed. When you're out in those waters for 17 months, you get barnacles on the ship. And those barnacles cause real trouble. So they took off all the barnacles, and they just manufactured a new paint to paint the hull of the ship so our ship would go faster in the water. And then they told us why they were doing this. Our ship had been picked as a guinea pig to go into a heavy, fortified Japanese area, draw the attention on us so the Marines could land safely on the other end of an island out in the Solomon Island area. They told us we probably couldn't survive. That's when I went down and got my Bible. I was 22 years of age when that happened, and I didn't want to die when I was 22, and I don't want to die when I'm 94 either. And I started reading my Bible. And then I stumbled on the book of Psalms. Psalms 57, verse 1 was comforting. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be over. But the one that really took my eye was Psalms 91. And this verse, the seventh verse of Psalm 91, rings in my ears today. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I went into that battle that night learning how to pray for the first time. I had a prayer session all by myself, and I was reading my Bible, and I knew that I only had a few more hours before I'd be gone, because they told me that. I had sweat circles clear down to my belt line. I was scared to death. We went into that harbor, and we caught the Japanese asleep, just like they caught us asleep at Pearl Harbor. We opened up every gun we had on the port side and the starboard side. They must have felt the whole world had attacked them, but then they started firing at us. They fired their main batteries, and at the high speed we were going in that harbor, we could dodge, and we'd change our course every few seconds. We were doing pretty good, but finally they announced there's a torpedo dead ahead. No matter which way we turn, this is it. I knew what torpedoes would do. I watched the USS Chicago blow up with a torpedo. They go up like kindling, even though they're built with steel. I just took a deep breath, and I prayed, and I waited, and couldn't believe. Finally, the silence was broken, and we were told that torpedo came to the bow of our ship, dived underneath the ship, went the full length, and came out the back. Angels know how to direct torpedoes, don't they? I shouldn't be here this morning, and I know that. I got out of that harbor with only one shell that went through the radar mast. And we sailed out of the war zone because we'd accomplished our task and the Marines had landed. We got that word over the radio. And so we got out of the war zone as fast as we could. The next morning, I remember taking hold of those lifelines, and I was out there all by myself, praising God that I was alive. And then we went back to harbor, and we got ammunition and fuel. And I could never understand why we could always get ammunition and fuel, but we couldn't get food. I got so tired of eating New Zealand goat meat, maybe that's why I'm a vegetarian today. Then the captain made an announcement. He said, all hands on topside, except those that are on duty. Well, I wasn't on duty, and I wanted to see what was happening. A captain never makes that announcement unless there's something serious. And I can see him yet with his megaphone up there. Gentlemen, our ship has been chosen again. Oh, what a disappointment. How can a human being keep taking this over and over, month after month? But he must have had a sense of humor, because he said our ship has been chosen to go back to the United States of America. You should have seen the white hats that went in the air and the shouts of joy. I think they must have heard us all the way to Tokyo. Oh, we got back there and I got transferred to a lighter and air blimp base like we had in near Astoria. And I was in charge of all the electronics. One day I was up on the second deck of the administration building looking out at the green grass. No more water, no more torpedoes, and then I froze. I made a promise to God. And I didn't belong to any church. And I wasn't a Christian, and I didn't know my Bible. And so I started studying, and I visited other pastors, and each Sunday pastor said, we're right and everybody else is wrong. And then, I was told that the Ten Commandments was done away with at the cross. And I was perplexed. So I set a criteria. I wanted a church that believed all the Old Testament. I wanted a church that believed all the New Testament. I wanted a church that kept all the Ten Commandments. Because I'd learned they hadn't been done away with at the cross. Somebody helped me understand that. And you know what? The Seventh-day Adventist Church was the only church that fit that criteria. I was baptized on March the 25th. 1945, before most of you were born. And I've never been happier. And I'm going to continue to serve God. I love Jesus more than I can put into words. Not just for what he did for me at World War II, but what he did for me at the cross. Jesus is love. And that love just fills my chest to where I feel it's going to burst sometime. And when I've had prayers answered, I know Jesus is with me all the time. I lost my wife, and it's hard. We were married for 67 years, but the Holy Spirit is with me every day, and I don't feel lonely. Let's talk about some miracles with Adventist World Radio. I wish somebody would stop that clock for me. How would you like to hear about 50 Sunday pastors that are studying right now, this morning? This is going on. We haven't had this happen long enough to have it advertised yet. 50 Sunday pastors are studying to join the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Here's how it happened. This happened in Cambodia. Now, don't go home and say Al said this happened all over the world. I hope it does. But it only happened in Cambodia. We have a Seventh-day Adventist pastor from Cambodia in California, and he has been broadcasting to his people in Cambodia. And some of you, and he's in California. And I'm sure there's many of you wonder, well, how can he be in California and talk to his people in Cambodia? It takes big giant transmitters. Adventist World Radio has 5 giant transmitters over to Guam. I've been out there twice, and we just upgraded them not long ago. But Adventist World Radio is leasing 10 other giant transmitters. How does this man in California talk? Here's what happened. Our engineering staff have developed a way of compressing the audio so it can go on the internet. So he can use that little microphone on his computer, and he talks into it, goes into the internet and out to our giant transmitters, and instantly he's getting messages into Cambodia. Now, there was one Sunday pastor out in Cambodia that was listening to Adventist World Radio. And he got so excited about it, he joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he went around all over Cambodia telling other Sunday pastors and people, listen to Adventist World Radio. You won't believe what you're hearing. Listen. And he got so many people interested that he sent a message to this pastor in California. He said, is there any way you can come out to Cambodia and have at least a 3-day Bible conference? He accepted the call, and he went out there, and at the close of the meetings, he could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, so he made an altar call. He said, all of those that love Jesus, raise your hands. Every hand went up. He said, and then he made another call. He said, all those who believe the seventh-day Sabbath, raise your hands. Quite a few hands went up. And then he said, any that want to join the Seventh-day Adventist Church and start studying, please come forward. 22 Sunday pastors immediately came forward. The building they rented was only holding 250 people. That was the biggest building they had in Cambodia. And there was 50 Sunday pastors standing up in the back, and they didn't hear very good. And when they saw these 22, 30 more came forward and knelt down and said, we want to join the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's what's going on. If you want something current to pray for these 50-some pastors that are studying to be a Seventh-day Adventist. I thought you'd like to hear that. Out in Vietnam, we have over 1 million people that are listening to Adventist World Radio. I had one president tell me, Al, of all the mission projects we've ever had, we're having more baptisms than any other ministry put together. And so this morning, as you consider your offering, think about what Adventist World Radio is doing. We're not playing games. This is for real. This is for keeps. And I wish I had time to tell you some of the stories of how we're getting more people baptized in North Vietnam than any other time. But I'm going to close with this story. So hang on with both hands. I don't think you're ready. I don't see anybody hanging on. This is the most fantastic thing that's ever happened in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. If this doesn't tell you that Jesus is coming soon, I guess you'll never be convinced. The whole Southern Baptist system in Hanoi have joined us now. The whole Southern Baptist system in Hanoi has joined us now. I never ever thought I could hear something like that. I mean, this is exciting. Then we found out, as we investigated further, there was over 3,000 Missionary Alliance church members that have now joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church in North Vietnam. Now, don't go home and say Al said this happened all over the world. This happened in North Vietnam, in Hanoi. And I'm excited about it. We have an abundance of evidence that Jesus is coming. And I can say with certainty, we now know that Jesus is coming soon. I don't know how soon is, but I know that it won't be long. And Jesus is going to put his angels to work and cut this work short in his righteousness. Watch. Get ready. Let's go home. with Jesus. Let's close this morning with singing 212, I think it is. It's in your bulletin. Let's look at these words like we never have before. Let's stand as we sing. Just for a moment before we have the benediction. The General Conference has printed a special offering envelope. Today is Adventist World Radio's turn for the world budget. It's self-addressed, it's stamped, it has a little pocket in it, and I brought two piles of them on the table out there. They're on the forward edge of it. And I encourage you to take several, because when you pay your offering through the church, it takes us a long time back in Washington, D.C. to get the offering. If you use one of these envelopes, we get it immediately. Let's pray. My dear Father in heaven, I know how excited you must be getting ready to come get your people and come home. Help us to be excited and help us to bring more into your kingdom. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.